I pray that we can stand here and sing, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. I'm no longer bound to sin." Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, those who have received Jesus do not need to be bound in sin anymore. The Bible says we go from being slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness. Father, I pray that wherever we are this morning, that you would help us to see how great you are, what a great purpose and mission you have for us, and that everything, Father, that you want to accomplish in our lives would take place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. We want to welcome everybody here today. If you are here for the very first time, just want to point out that we have this thing called a connection card on our bulletin, and we would love for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it gets passed here in a minute or two. Why don't we have our kids head back to junior worship now? If you are going back there, kids, you can head on back. You're welcome to stay here as well. We have activity bags over there for children or parents who get bored. That's fine too. Adults, you are welcome to color and do that sort of thing. Kind of a thing today anyway, coloring, adult coloring books. You know, I have to admit, when I first saw adult coloring books, my mind went in a different direction than what they really are. I was like, whoa, we're not doing that, are we? Thankfully, we're not doing that. But I was like, what? Adult coloring books? That's weird. As the kids are heading back, as we get ready to receive our offering, let me just want to mention, we had a couple of really great events yesterday. I just want to just thank those that were involved. We had 19 people, right? 19 went to Westernport. Is that right, guys? 19? We went to Westernport, Maryland to do a sort of a fun fair for the kids down there. We continue to stay in contact with them the big event is always in July. And so I want to thank all of you for going down there and doing that. And then last night we had Don Castelline from WGRC and 3 Penn State football players, and it was a wonderful night of testimonies and music. And I mean, even if you were like a Pitt fan, you would have enjoyed last night, because it was really good to hear those young men talk about Christ and how God intersects with their lives and football and whatever. So thank you to Rich is in the second service, but Rich Miller sort of organized that. But many of you helped out, volunteers, food, all kinds of things. And so it was a great event. And I saw on Rich's Facebook post that 5 people prayed to receive Christ last night. So that's a wonderful thing to see happen as well. If you'll throw my offering thought up there, this is actually the same one from last week, because I thought it kind of fit with Boyd's emphasis today. And as we think about the idea of offering, I want us to always think way more than money. I mean, don't forget the money part, but I always want to go way beyond that, because this is what you're called to do, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, you are called, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. I don't have the opportunity, I don't have the right to tell God, look, I'm going to do what I want to do with my life, because he's bought me, he's purchased me, he's redeemed me. And so if you'll read with me, this is often referred to as the great commission, and I think that it takes offerings of time and resources and prayer to make this happen, right? To make it work in our world. So read this with me if you would. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So let's keep that in mind as we receive our offering this morning. Thank you. Thank you guys very, very much. Just before I introduce Boyd this morning, there is a green Ford F-150 pickup truck with a license plate of YKV7566 that your lights apparently are on. So if you have a green Ford F-150, looks like this. I don't have my license plate memorized, so that like license plate information doesn't ever do me any good, but it's probably a good idea to do that. But you have your lights on. Now, we're a friendly church. We'll jump you if your battery goes bad. But so anyway, all right. I'll bring this to you when I'm done introducing Boyd. Let me introduce Boyd. Come on up here. We are excited to have Boyd Carney with us for our Spiritual Life services. So that'll be today, this morning, and then tonight at 7 and Monday at 7. And Boyd is the supervising chaplain at the Lewisburg Penitentiary. And I'm going to let him kind of introduce you and tell about you. And if you happen to, like, right now get up and leave, we're going to assume you're going to the bathroom, not that you're on the lam. So we're glad that you are here, Boyd, and share the Word of God with us, please.
Thank you. With you this morning. Did I turn this on?
It's not on. No, it's on.
I love technology. It's very helpful when it works. My name is Boyd Carney. I am the supervisory chaplain at USP Lewisburg. And we're still humming? Okay, good. You're all awake. Do that from time to time throughout the service today. That way, when they nod off, they'll come right back. I am the husband of Jerilee Wirt Carney. She grew up and graduated from Mifflinburg High School. I am the son-in-law of Marilyn Wirt and Don Wirt. And a funny little story about Don and Marilyn. When I was proposing to Jerilee, I took her dad out for breakfast at Carriage Corner here in Mifflinburg, and we went through the whole breakfast, and, you know, he knew that I was going to be asking him something, and so he was giving me a hard time like he always does, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get him. So at the end of breakfast, I got down on one knee, and I said, "Will you be my father-in-law?" And you should have seen his face. "Get up off the floor! What are you doing? This is a different time and place now. People are going to get the wrong idea." "Yes, yes, fine." And I said, "I'm not getting up till you say yes." And he very quickly said yes, and the rest, they say, is history. It's nice to be out of prison today. I've been in for 15 years, so... they let me out today to come and be with you. I might be going back a little bit later on today, and then they'll give me work release to come back again this evening, depending on how things go, I suppose. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears." And so as we look at this passage this morning, some of you might be thinking, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Calling Esau godless? Saying that he is utterly without God in the world just because he sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. And we'll explain that here, but I want to take us back to the original context of this passage, to take us back to how all of this came to be. So if you would also turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25 and beginning at verse 24. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew, I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Now, as we look at this passage, let's understand Jacob and Esau a little bit better. Esau is the firstborn. He comes out. Jacob is grasping his heel. I happen to be the second child. I have an older brother. So I relate in a lot of ways to this passage, seeing this sibling rivalry that goes on between Esau and his younger brother Jacob. You know, thinking about growing up, and my brother was a year and a half older than me, and he was always bigger than me, and he always liked to push me around and, you know, and kind of have his way and do whatever. And then as we got into high school, I started getting bigger, and I started drinking milk, and anyway, and I started getting bigger, and then the day came that I passed my brother, and I felt like, "Hey, little fella, how you doing?" You know? So I can relate here. Jacob and Esau. Jacob, he's kind of always like trying to get ahead of his brother, and his brother is this big hairy guy. You know, he's this big giant creature, red hair, bushy beard. You know, I don't know if you could identify with anybody like that, but I mean, hairy, his back, when he takes off his shirt at the beach, it's like, "Take off your shirt, seriously." "I did." I mean, that's what Esau is like, right? And Jacob, he's a quiet man. He stays among the tents, and, you know, and some people would say he's kind of like a mama's boy. So here you have Esau. He's a skillful hunter. I mean, he's a man's man, right? I mean, if he was living today, he would have his own TV show on the Outdoor Channel. It would be like Esau in the Wild Country. I mean, that's just the kind of guy that he was, and he was a skillful hunter. And we see through other accounts of his life, specifically thinking of the time when he went to his father to get the blessing, and his father Isaac said to him, "Hey, go out and get some wild game and bring it back and prepare it just the way that I like it, and when you do, then I will give you my blessing." And we're told that he goes out into the open country, and of course, while he's out in the open country, Jacob and his mother are plotting of how they're going to steal the blessing from him, and they prepare this special meal and all these things that are going on, and some time passes, but Esau comes back. And when Esau comes back, his father says to him, "Take some of that wild game that you've brought and prepare it for me." So we know that he's a skillful hunter. We know that he's good at what he does, because when his father said, "Go get some game," he comes back with game. He comes back with, I don't know, maybe a deer, a couple rabbits slung over his shoulders. I mean, this guy was a good hunter. He's not like me. You know, I go out in the woods and I sit there and I take a nap, and then that's the end of it, right? Anybody else can relate? Raise your hands really high. One other person. Wow. Either everybody here is a skillful hunter or a skillful liar. I'm not sure which. But he's a man of the open country. He's good at what he does. And, you know, he's this big hairy guy. He kind of would remind you of Grizzly Adams. Anybody? Yes, I see some people nodding. For those of you who are younger than me, Grizzly Adams was this big hairy guy that used to go out in the woods and do all kinds of great things. Kind of like maybe Duck Dynasty people. Yes? Okay.
For those under 40, you're like, oh, yes, Duck Dynasty. And then you have Jacob. He's a quiet man. He stays at home. He's amongst the tents. He's a cook. He has smooth skin. Remember, he had to put goat skins on his arms for his father to be tricked into giving him his blessing. But don't get it wrong, though. I mean, he's not some slouch, okay? He's not necessarily the mama's boy like I might have suggested, because you remember when he was meeting his future wife, Rachel, she was coming out waiting for all the people to come and all the shepherds to come so that they could remove the stone from the well so that they could water the sheep. And Jacob comes along, and superhuman strength, here comes a pretty girl, so he picks the lid off the well by himself and sets it aside and then probably does one of these. How you doing? Right? Guys, have you ever done that? And Rachel's like, oh, he's amazing, right? So don't get it wrong. I mean, this is the same Jacob who also wrestled with God all night long, right? I wrestle with somebody and like 3 seconds later, I'm laying on my back and the ref is hitting the mat going pinned. Here's Jacob, he's wrestling with God all night long, and then God has to wrench his hip out of its socket so that he loses, and then he has to give up. But he won't let go until God blesses him, right? So let's not think that Jacob is just some, you know, cute, dainty little mama's boy. This guy's tough in his own right. So there's kind of the history of these two. And now, so you have this one particular day where Jacob is cooking some stew, and we later find out from verse 34 of this passage that it's lentil stew. What are lentils? Any really good cooks out here? What are lentils? They're like glorified beans, right? I mean, it's essentially what we're talking about. Bean soup, right? Okay, so he's making this bean soup. We know about lentils that they are very high in protein content. They probably don't taste very good, but they can also be easily and rapidly cooked. You don't have to soak them overnight for them to get their moisture back. You can throw them in a pot, and 20 minutes later, you have lentil stew. Right? Am I right? Ladies? Men who are good cooks? Yes? Listen, let me just tell you this. We're going to take a break for a second. Sermons are interactive, okay? So the more that I talk and the less that you talk, the longer I'm going to go. The more that you talk back to me, the more I will know, oh, okay, they get it, and then I can move on to the next thing, okay? So if you want to be here until 12:30, we'll welcome the other people from the second service in. Just keep being quiet. If you want to be out of here soon, talk back to me. Are you with me?
Amen.
Thank you. I think he has somewhere to go. So, Esau has gone out to the open country. Jacob is at home. He knows that Esau is going to be coming back. He knows about his brother. He knows that he's impulsive. He knows all these kinds of things. He knows that he's weak-willed. Probably sees him coming in from the country. He says, you know what? Let me throw a pot of lentil stew together, and I'm going to get him. I'm going to plot against him because I know how Esau is. And Esau comes in from the open country. Now, what was Esau doing in the open country? He was hunting, because he's what? A skillful hunter. And if he's coming in from hunting and he's a skillful hunter, what do you think he probably has with him? Game. Again, here is this guy. I don't know how they do it. They didn't have trail cams. They didn't have that psh, 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 spray stuff that you put on yourself to make your smell go away. They didn't have deer dander or any of these other kinds of things, right? Are you with me? He didn't have any of these things, and yet here he comes all the time with a 12-point buck, with a 36-inch spread, and you're just like, really? I mean, how do these people do this? He's a skillful hunter, and he's probably got a couple rabbits, and maybe, I don't know if they had turkeys over there, but let's just, for our sake, he had a turkey too. I mean, this guy's just crazy. So he's got all this game with him. He's come in from the open country, and he's hungry. Right? He's hungry. And Jacob is there, ready with his plot. Hey, I got some stew for you. And Esau, of course, responds his impulsive self, "Quick, give me some of that stew or I'm going to die." Have you ever been that hungry? No. Neither have I. Right? But there are some people, you've been out in the woods for hours and hours and days, and you come back and you're hungry, right? Esau is hungry. And Jacob says, "Okay, I'll give you some stew," like the good little brother. "I'll give you some stew, but first sell me your birthright." "What? My birthright? I'm not going to sell you my birthright." "Yeah, sell me your birthright, and then I'll give you some stew." And Esau reasons in his mind, "Well, if I die of hunger, my birthright will go to him anyway, so I might as well get something for the trade," right? And so he sells him his birthright. And Jacob says, "Oh, no, 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 no. Not enough that you're just going to sell it. Make an oath. Promise me." You know, like, cross your heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I mean, that's what he's asking for. That you promise me before God that you're going to give me your birthright. And Esau says, "Fine." And he gives him his birthright. And then Jacob says, "Here you go. Have some stew." And he gives him some bread on top of it just to help the lentils go down. Because that's, I mean, let's be honest, that's what it's going to take, a nice big hunk of bread to make a bean soup taste good. Right? And it says that Esau sat down and ate, and he got up and left, and he despised his birthright. Again, this harsh language. He's godless, and he despised his birthright. And so we have to ask ourselves the question then, what did the birthright carry? What was the significance? We're told from the scriptures that the oldest would get double the portion of any of the others. Double the portion. So you take what dad has, and two-thirds of it goes to Esau, one-third of it goes to Jacob. When you're talking about Isaac, who is a man who's very well-to-do, two-thirds versus one-third, I don't know about new math, but two-thirds is bigger than one-third. Does everybody know this?
Yes.
Okay, good. We don't have to talk about math in church. Glad. What was then this double portion, or what was this blessing that Esau was going to get? What were the inheritance rights that were Esau's? He was the inheritor of the promise given to his grandfather, Abraham. And what were the promises given to Abraham? The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That was Esau's. That promise that God gave to Abraham was then passed down to Isaac, and then was to be passed from Isaac to Esau. And he traded that for a bowl of soup. Let's unpack these blessings a little bit more. "Go to the land I will show you." Isaac blesses Jacob because Jacob was the one who got the inheritance and passes on the covenant of the promised land. "May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham." The promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, could have been Esau's because he was first in line for the inheritance, and he traded it for
a bowl of soup.
And not even a good bowl of soup. A bowl of bean soup. Right? I mean, think about this. Think about the difference between bean soup and any other kind of soup or any other kind of food. Right? But like real people food. Right? I mean, if you had the choice today to go to McDonald's and have a quarter pounder with cheese or to go home and get some stale frozen soy burger out of the fridge or the freezer, which would you pick? And listen, don't tell me this stuff about, well, the soybeans are better for your health, and so you should eat. I'm not talking about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. I'm talking about which one tastes better. The quarter pounder with cheese, right? And he traded the blessings of the promised land, of a land flowing with milk and honey, for bean soup. It gets worse. That he was promised to be blessed by God. And you think about the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob because he was the one who was next in line to receive it. It's when Isaac caught the smell of his son, thinking that it was Esau, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches, abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you." I mean, talk about blessings. That's what every second-born son wants to hear. Your brothers are going to bow down to you. Yeah! Right? And you're going to have blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And Esau traded that for a bowl of soup. This is where you interact. Talk back to me, okay? We're looking at 9:45 right now. He promised to make his name great. God promised Abraham to make his name great, and Esau would have been the benefactor of that had he not sold his inheritance. To have your name made great, like your name in lights or maybe on a poster. I mean, I walked in this morning, I saw my name on a poster, I thought, I have arrived. Yes. This is awesome. It wasn't the best picture, I got to tell you. Kind of made me look fat, but, well, anyway. How many cameras were on me, right? The camera adds 40 pounds. Yeah. And you get up here and say, really? That's okay. Think about this. His name being made great. His name being made great. That was one of the promises for Esau. And now it is passed on to Jacob. When God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, how did God identify himself to Moses? I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I thought it was Esau. All this time I've been reading it wrong. It could have been, couldn't it? Here is God appearing to Moses and telling Moses, I am going to send you to Egypt to bring my people out of slavery and bring them into the promised land. And God introduces himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Esau traded that for a bowl of soup. You're catching on now. This is better. When the prophet Elijah was facing the prophets of Baal and he was up on the mountain and they were having this contest as to whose God was going to answer by fire. Do you remember this? Whose God is going to answer by fire? And how did Elijah pray? Elijah prayed, O God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thought it was Esau. But it wasn't. And what happens? God rains down fire upon the altar that had been covered with gallons upon gallons of water, and the offering was consumed, the altar was consumed. How hot does it have to get for rocks to be consumed? The water around it, the trench around it, everything around it was completely consumed by fire. And Esau could have had his name in lights. But he traded that for a bowl of soup, and not a very good one either. In Jesus' address to the Sadducees, when he was proving that there is a resurrection of the dead, what did Jesus say? Have you not read what God has said to you? I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And that could have been Esau's name written there in the account
of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself could have spoken Esau's name, but Esau traded that for a bowl of soup. In Peter's address to the crowd, after the healing of the man at the temple gate called Beautiful, he speaks to those who are gathered. He speaks to those who are there in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, or shortly after the day of Pentecost. And he proclaims to the people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And you know that 2,000 people were added to the group of believers on that day. And Esau could have had his name mentioned there, but he traded that for a bowl of soup. See, this is crazy. A bowl of bean soup versus having your name mentioned in every great period of biblical history. Moses, Elijah, Christ, the church. And Esau traded all of that for a bowl of soup. We see also how Jacob's name is made great in Genesis 32. God changes his name. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. And God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. Anybody ever hear of Israel? It still exists today, doesn't it? Esau could have had a name of a country named after him, that would have continued on thousands upon thousands of years later into our time. And Esau traded that. I'm just having you do this now so I know that you're not sleeping. I just want you to know. All of this, his name is made great. Oh, it gets even worse. In Matthew chapter 1, we read this, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. He could have had his name mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And he traded that for a bowl of soup. He said, I will bless you. One of the other promises, but I will bless you, bless those you bless and curse those you curse. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed is part of the blessing that Jacob received rather than the blessing that could have gone to Esau. And look at the blessing that is given. Isaac tells his son Jacob, you're going to have all this stuff. Your brothers are going to serve you. Esau's blessing really wasn't much of a blessing at all. Heaven's due away from you. The blessings of earth far from you. You're never going to reach it. But hey, in the end, you'll throw your brother's yoke off of your neck. I mean, how would you like to receive a blessing like that? Basically, it was your life is going to stink. And then in the end, it'll get a little bit better because you'll finally overcome. And then finally, one of the final promises, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, was not just a promise for Abraham's own people, but for all of the people of the earth. That Esau could have been in this line, that Esau could have been a recipient of this blessing, that all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Can you imagine receiving that promise? Somebody just walked up to you someday and they looked like a really credible person and they said, hey, I just want you to know that all of the people on earth are going to be blessed through your life. Wow. And here is Esau trading that for a bowl of soup. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So essentially, Esau could have been a forerunner of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he traded that for a bowl of soup. In Matthew 8, chapter 11, chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus says, "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." He could have had a seat at the table of the feast in the kingdom of heaven. And he traded that for a bowl of soup. Now, if you had the choice today, after the service is over, to go to Country Cupboard and select the full buffet or to have a bowl of bean soup, which one would you pick? Thank you. One honest person in the lot. I saw some of you think, soup? No, you wouldn't. You would only get soup because it came with the buffet. Right? Come on, let's be honest. I'm being honest. Now, is there anything inherently wrong with a bowl of soup? No, other than, you know, later on, after effects sometimes, but, right? There's nothing inherently wrong with a bowl of soup, is there? But when you look at the totality of it, what was the problem? Why is Esau considered as godless and as one who despised his birthright? Was it just because of the bowl of soup? No, it was because of everything else that he gave up for the bowl of soup. All of these things Esau traded in a moment of personal weakness. I mean, let's think about this really. Esau has come in from the country. We know he's a skillful hunter, and as the skillful hunter, he comes in from the country. How long would it have taken for him to skin out the deer? People who have done it, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes. How long does it take to skin out a deer? Anybody? Come on, I know there were skillful hunters in here because only one person raised his hand when he said he wasn't a skillful hunter. How long does it take? Half an hour. Wow, this guy is good. All right. So it takes a half an hour. What's the best thing that you can do after you've taken the deer? What do you take off the deer first? I only know this by rumor and what people have told me, so I could be wrong. Back straps, thank you. And what do you do with back straps? You eat them. And how do you eat them? What's the only way to eat back straps?
Butter pies and fry.
Oh, I'm going to hug you after the service. Right? You butter them up and you fry them, right? So half an hour for Esau to skin out his deer, few extra minutes to cut off the back straps, build a fire, and grill them over an open fire and then eat them on the spot, right? For 45 minutes. That's all it would have taken. 45 minutes, and he could have had back straps instead of bean soup. Right? And here is Esau trading away his birthright for something so simple. He's so impulsive. He doesn't recognize what's ahead of him. He doesn't realize what's in store for him. He's not looking beyond the here and the now to see what could be waiting for him. And what could have taken just a few minutes of extra time for him to prepare his own meal, he gave up everything for a bowl of bean soup. How many of you are kind of irritated with Esau right now? Like, seriously, dude? I mean, back straps versus bean soup. And all of these other blessings that God had promised to you. Could not the God who gave Abraham a child when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90, could not that God have sustained you for 45 minutes while you cut up your deer, got your back straps off, and roasted it over an open fire? Could not God have done that miracle for you? And yet here you are, selling away your birthright, selling away everything that God has intended for you, because you couldn't control yourself and you had to have this bowl of soup. And then I think to myself, how many promises has God given us? Life. In this life and in the life to come. Peace to be set free from our sin and to live a life free from guilt. And understanding that everything is made right between me and God. That God has promised us to become his children. That we are adopted into the family of God. Even me, the red-haired stepchild, welcomed into the family of God. A sinful, flawed, failing human being, yet by the grace of God given in Jesus Christ, I'm part of God's family. And then, as a part of God's family, we're promised to be heirs of God. I mean, we're talking about heirs of Isaac, getting 2/3 of his possessions. No. We're talking about being heirs of God. Like, look around you. As I was driving here today, I'm looking at this beautiful valley surrounded by these mountains and thinking, God made all of this. And as an heir, I'm going to get that and so much more. The promise of his kingdom, everything that he has. Read Revelation and look at the beauty and the splendor and the wonder of heaven. And guess what? All of that is yours. And to be co-heirs with Christ. The one who redeemed us, the one who saved us from sin, the one who suffered and died on a cross so that we could be forgiven and made right with God. And we get to join him as heirs and share everything that he has. And I have to ask, what's your soup of the day? Do we not, from time to time in our lives, trade all of that for something that's so much less? Trade all that God has given us, peace and life and eternal life, that our lowly bodies will be transformed so that they will be like his glorious body. We've been given a promise of an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And yet how often do we trade that for something as worthless and as useless and as meaningless as a bowl of soup? Oh, maybe it's not bean soup, but something else. Maybe it's a smartphone. Oh, did I step on someone's toes? Don't worry, I've been on my own for the last 3 months in preparing this, right? Binge watching Netflix for, 97 hours. For those over 40, that's where you can watch TV shows all day long and watch whatever you want without commercials. See, younger people, I'm not just singling you out, okay? Right? I mean, are there things in our lives? Maybe it's, hunting and fishing. We spend all of our time and effort and energy and money and everything else on doing all of these things to get away. Hey, and these are just my own. Okay? What are yours? What's your bowl of soup? What are the things that you're trading all of the wonder and the splendor and the promises of God for something that's so much less? Does that mean that those things are bad? Does it mean that those things are evil? Is bean soup evil? No, it's not. But when it's traded for something that has so much more value, so much more worth, so much more to give us, wow, it's not a very good trade, is it? Have you ever maybe binge watched a show on Netflix or sat in front of your computer for 8 hours or 12 hours a day and you get done and you're getting ready to go to bed and you look back at your day and you say, what did I do? I have no idea what I've done. And what's the feeling that you have when you experience that? Man, what a waste, right? Do you ever get done with all of those things and say, oh my goodness, my life is now fulfilled because I have watched the news and looked at the internet for 9 hours today. Hallelujah! No.
But when you live a life that's sold out for Christ and everything that you do is done with the perspective that God has given you so much beyond what you can possibly imagine or compare, and you've done something for the kingdom, or you have spent time in God's word, or been on your knees in prayer, or whatever it is, and you come out of that, do you not feel fulfilled, encouraged, uplifted? Boy, you know, it was really hard to do that today, to carve out that section of time today, but man, I'm so glad that I did. And those are the choices that we have today. There are so many bowls of soup out there that will suck your time away and take you away from the things that have so much more value and so much more importance in life. And they're everywhere, and we have to guard against it. Any of you ever seen the show Seinfeld? Yes? Okay. It's a show about nothing, right? By their own admission, it's a show about nothing. And they have these main characters, and they're all intertwined with all these other weird people that they interact with, like Newman and, you know, all these people, right? Everybody with me? You're still nodding? Hey, elbow the person next to you, make sure they're awake. And one of the episodes, there's this guy who owns this soup restaurant, essentially. Right? You know where I'm going with this, right? Right? And you go into this restaurant, and when you walk into this restaurant, you'd better have your order down perfectly. Because if you mess up your order, hesitate, stumble over a word, anything. The guy who runs this, what does he say? No soup for you. Come back 1 year. My admonition for you today is this. No soup for you. God has so much more for you. God has so much more to offer than the crummy bowl of soup that you're trading for. Walk out of here today saying, no soup for me. And I'm not coming back. Because God has given me so much more. Amen.
Amen. As the praise team gathers, would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for all that you offer us, and yet how easy it is for us to sacrifice so many of your blessings for a bowl of soup. And as they're getting ready to play, I want to remind you all of something that I thought of so many times in my life, is that most of what I have missed out in this life because of my own sin, that the biggest consequences of my own sin have not been punishments that I've received, but blessings that I've missed. And I think that's what Esau missed. So much that he gave up. Father, as we sing today, cement this into our minds. I pray that as we leave, we'll not trade your blessing for a bowl of soup. In Jesus' name, amen.